Welcome to the Mill Creek View, Tennessee podcast with your host, Steve Abramowitz, Managing Director of Mill Creek Financial Partners.
Hello and welcome to the Mill Creek View, Tennessee podcast. I have a great show for you, focused on not just the volunteer state, but our nation today, with always an interesting person making a positive change in our community. This time, special guest, Coach Joe Kennedy, fresh off his Supreme Court win, not just for him, but for us. But first, for more information about the Mill Creek View podcast, visit us on Spotify or Amazon Music at Mill Creek View Tennessee Podcast. And don't forget to subscribe to the show so you won't miss a single episode. And thanks so much for listening. And welcome to our People in the News episode, where I interview people who are making an impact and are lovers of truth. Today, we are talking with Joe Kennedy. Joseph Kennedy, high school football coach in Bremerton, Washington, husband with five kids, was fired for praying at the 50-yard line after games. A former U.S. Marine, Kennedy fought back all the way to the Supreme Court, where he won his case in a 6-3 decision, which he called great news for the entire nation. My prayer lasted less than 10 seconds. Then I'd get up, dust off the mud and grass, and head back to the locker room with the team. I went in to meet with the superintendent. He told me that the school has a rule against encouraging or discouraging prayer. The school's lawyer investigated the situation and gave me a letter stating that it was okay for me to pray as long as it does not affect my job duties, and they did not want me to pray with the students. Joe said, "The First Amendment really means a lot to me, and it is really terrible today in America that somebody can be fired just for expressing their faith. So I am fighting so that no one else ever has to go through this and doesn't have to choose between their job and their faith. Amen, and thank you, Coach Joe." A school district spokesman told the Seattle Times that it could not confirm whether Kennedy would be reinstated. Well, making an impact is an understatement. It doesn't get better than a Supreme Court victory. Coach Kennedy, how are you today?
I am wonderful. Thank you so much.
Tell us, how has your family held up with all of this?
You know, I would say probably the first 5 years was the absolute roughest part of it. It's still an ongoing struggle. Anytime anything happens in the news, as you can imagine, you have all the, you know, the keyboard commandos and trolls that want to just try to throw mud at you. And every once in a while, one of those real liberal papers or something will say something that gets my wife pretty spun up. But overall, I'd say really good. We're doing very well. We're down in Florida taking care of my wife's dad right now until I'm reinstated. So I would say God knows what he's doing and things are good.
So it's been almost 5 years and you still haven't been reinstated, even though you won your case. Do your young ones still have faith in the American form of justice?
Yeah, that's a tough one. And it's actually been, this is our 8th football season now. And, you know, anybody who's paid attention, I can't pay attention to what happened in the news, I don't know, last week or 2 weeks ago. This has been 8 years. So, yeah. So you can imagine that, you know, that they say the wheels of justice turn slowly. I didn't know that it was like, this is crazy. And then it's not what you think it is. When the Supreme Court says thou shalt win, that's not what that exactly means. It means it has to go all the way back down to the regular courts and get settled there with the guidance of the Supreme Court.
Well, I say it on here all the time. The process is the punishment quite often. So let's rewind for a second. How'd this whole thing start? Did a Karen parent complain, or was it a referee or opposing team mom or dad? What was the first instance of trouble?
The first instance of trouble was actually from a compliment. Somebody from another school district called us, called the principal of the high school and said, "Hey, I just wanted to tell you, I went to my first football game and I saw what you guys are doing out there on the field. And I just want to say that your football program is really awesome." And of course, with any compliment, you want to start an investigation. And that's how it all started, from a compliment. No one had anything bad to say.
Wow. So not even a complaint, just somebody mentioned it to the wrong person. And then the powers that be decided that wasn't okay. Question, did you go before the Supreme Court yourself and plead your case, or with the lawyers, or just the lawyers? If you did, what was that like?
It was, since this is post-COVID, I was not actually in the courtroom. The only ones they allowed in the courtroom is two lawyers from each side and the media. Tell me, that doesn't make sense. So I was two blocks away, and we listened to it live like many other Americans. And then we walked over to the front steps when my lawyer came out.
Wow. This fighting spirit from the Marines and mixed martial arts, or are you just stubborn?
It depends who you talk to. My wife would definitely say I'm stubborn, but I've been a fighter my whole entire life. I really didn't understand, you know, the environment that I was growing up in when I was a kid, being a rebellious kid, a really troubled youth. I didn't know that that was all leading me to be, you know, this fighter for today. And the Marines definitely helped. I got that, you know, that's in spades now. So I am really set on fighting and defending the Constitution for every American.
Well, thank you for your service. And of course, thank you for all of this that we're talking about today. That's why you're here. So the Bremerton Knights is who you coach for. That's a Washington mid-state team. Happened to be 5-1 this season. So they're doing pretty good. But for over 2,500 days, I think I saw, you've been barred from coaching at Bremerton Washington High School, which is all you wanted to do. What is the status of your reinstatement? You're in Florida, obviously, so you're not there for games this Friday.
Oh, well, this Friday I will be at a game. You don't have to share that nationally, but we're going up, and I plan on attending a game this Friday and also Monday. But yeah, it's been so tough not actually being able to go. Being down in Florida is really irrelevant because I could fly up anytime for a game, and all my friends and family and everybody's up in Washington. So coming back is not a big deal. Yeah. But to answer your question, we're in negotiations with the school district. Like I said before, the Supreme Court ruled and they knocked it down to the lower court. Well, there's something that we have to get, some kind of order that has to be presented to the judge that says, this is what Kennedy is allowed to do. This is what he cannot do. So both parties have to get together, decide what I can and cannot do, when I can do it, when am I starting, what are, you know, all the details, all the logistical things. And we have to present that before the district court, and he has to approve it. But
and just to district, be clear for the view, for the listeners, all we're talking about is a 10-second prayer after the game and whether you can or cannot do that ongoing. And if you can't, then do you want to go back? And if you can, great. Life goes back to normal and we have freedom of religion. I mean, is that what we're talking about? Is hammering out the details?
You know, yeah, just a little bit finer point is I can, and the school has to allow me to do that. And the Supreme Court, they passed the summary judgment, which means they have to rehire me. Now, all the other details, will I be the head coach of the junior varsity? Will I be the defensive coordinator? Will I be this or that? Those things are the things that need to be ruled, drafted out, just so the school and myself and the courts are all happy with it.
So a new employment contract, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I was fascinated because I read what the school's lawyers said, which, you know, this is a public school, right? So taxpayers pay for these lawyers to say something. And this is what they said. The district will, of course, abide by the district court's order to talk with Kennedy and his lawyers. For that process to be productive, Kennedy and his lawyers would need to identify what issues, if any, remain in dispute. What issues remain?
That's a very good question. The school, they drafted a policy on what people of faith and anyone in the public sector can do at the public school. And I won't go into details because I can't, you know, I don't have it in front of me, so there's no way I could do it. But there's a 25-foot rule. There's like a halo around me, you could say, that I cannot pray anywhere if there's anybody present within 25 feet. And I don't know what the other details of their policy says, but I just wanted to just sit down with them and actually have a face-to-face talk and say, hey, I don't want to be, you know, to disrupt the football program. It's been in the media circus for long enough. How do I come back, you know, under good graces where everybody can actually get along? Because these are my friends. You know, the school district are my friends. My whole team and my coaching staff there, we worked together for almost a decade. Yeah. So yeah, that to sit down together is, I'd like to meet the new head coach and ask him what his plans are, what is my role to be, and when would I come back on? Because obviously I don't want to blow up the middle this season. I don't feel like I have the right to, drop a bomb right in the middle of the football season that I don't even know these kids. So yeah, I just want to meet with them and just get all those details out and say, hey, in 2023, what do I have to report? Where's my locker? Just all the fine details of it, and find out what time I need to report to work every day.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. You want to know, but even COVID was safe after 6 feet, right? So 25 feet for prayer seems pretty dangerous to me. You're a walking mass destruction. Okay. So we talk here a lot about how propagandistic the press is. You got into it with Sports Illustrated. They said a win for Kennedy and an erosion of a bedrock of American democracy, which doesn't make sense to me, but that's what they said. Tell us about that tweet of theirs and what made you feel compelled to even reply to them.
I spent over a week and probably a month with the gentleman who did the interview with me. And when he kept confirming all my stories and he did due diligence. The guy who actually wrote it, I was very impressed with it. We got the first copy of it and it sounded really nice. I think he nailed it, every single aspect of it. And then their editors got a hold of it. And it seems like if you read it, it seemed very bipolar. It says Kennedy does this, and this. On his own accord, and then you see where editor puts his comments, which is a terrible bad thing. I mean, it was crazy. And then they called me out and said that it was a blow or erosion of democracy, I was like, come on guys, now you're just throwing words at me. I mean, if you want to fight, let's fight, get a boxing ring or a cage, and let's duke it out, because the court ruled. And I think they are just very concerned with not knowing what the Constitution actually says versus what we've been living by for the past 50 years.
Yeah, that is definitely a theme. And I guess the U.S. Supreme Court codified your right to religious liberty, let's just say, generally speaking, but not the right to coach at Bremerton High School. So is that right? That's the next step?
They said that they have to reinstate me. So I don't know the legal terms, injunctive relief. Uh-huh. So they have to hire me back and allow me to pray. So, I won the case hands down. The school has nowhere to go. I think they're pretty upset about the legal fees. And, and that's another reason why I really want to meet with them, because if there's, millions of dollars at stake, why not meet with me? We can negotiate, millions down and take, some of that burden off of them to, I don't think my lawyers are, of course they're lawyers, but I don't think they want to drain the school of every penny they have. I think they'll knock millions of dollars off if they just meet with us and negotiate with us.
Lower courts all ruled for the school. You didn't pray alone. I mean, there are pictures of kids, your kids, are huddling around you, enjoying the moment of communion with God. What we locals call, when I was local in Washington, we called the nutty Ninth Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals, which is the most frequently overturned court in the country. So it's not surprising this had to go through this. They concluded that by kneeling and praying in view of students and parents, Kennedy, you, spoke as a public employee, not as a private citizen, and his speech, therefore, was constitutionally unprotected. Is that true? Do public employees waive their rights to free speech?
That was one of the main questions that we were asking. Where does our First Amendment rights stop? And, just to be totally clear, Yes, I did pray with kids. But when the school told me to stop doing that, I ceased doing that practice. There isn't a picture with me praying with anybody after the school district told me to stop. They muddied the waters by showing pictures that were from previous games where, you know, the famous two helmet where I'm holding a helmet for my team and an opposing team above my head and thanking God. Yeah, that was an old practice, but they submitted that as it was a fact. And this is what I am doing, not what I was doing. Mm. So yeah, that's it got really muddy really quick.
Yep. 8 years of mud. The court ruled 6-3 in your favor. What in the world did the three think you were wrong about when it says very clearly in the Constitution shall not be infringed?
That's the crazy part of it. Those three bought into the narrative that I was doing something that I was not doing. They kept referring back to I was defiant, and I went to the media and I made this a big spectacle to show off my piety or something. It was really interesting to see that they ignored the facts of the case, which the six justices looked at and actually agreed with. The other three, they ruled in favor of the school district. The school district's narrative that none of the facts in that was actually, that was just presented by the lawyer. It wasn't actually a fact of what we were asking. Hmm.
Well, the Associated Press did a poll and 54% approved of the court's reading, the six. But, you know, what do you think's with the 22% that disapproved? The rest didn't know or didn't have an opinion. But what would you think if you stepped out of it and said, here's what you would disagree with? What in the world would they have said we disagree with? It can't just be prayer.
Yeah. I really struggle with that. I tried to figure out why people would be so much against somebody exercising their First Amendment right. Well, for the past 50 years, we've been going I don't know how you would say it, probably just under the assumption that there is a separation of church and state, and that is constitutional. Well, there's nowhere in the Constitution where that is. You just hear that constantly. And also the separation of church and state, you sit there and read the Establishment Clause. So back in the 70s, there was a case that the Establishment Clause was challenged in the Lemon Law or Lemon Test and Lemon versus somebody. And that's where this all stemmed from. So for five generations, 51 or 52 years now, we've been under the assumption that you cannot do any kind of prayer or any kind of religious thing in the public square, which is not true. It's not constitutional. But it's all stemmed from that one case.
That is right. That is right. And here in Tennessee, they're putting a constitutional amendment where religious people can actually participate in politics. They had to actually change the Constitution because of this misreading way back when. So you were quoted as saying, not only would that mean I would never be back on the football field, but it meant that my case might mean other coaches and teachers could lose their job. He wrote, worse, a small part of the Constitution I swore to defend in the U.S. Marine Corps would be weakened, not because of a fight I lost on the battlefield, but in a courtroom. Have any other coaches you know of had to go through this?
I get calls every once in a while. It seems like, I don't know, maybe once a year I'll have a coach that reaches out to me and says, hey, I'm concerned about what I'm doing. I'm praying with my team And I just, you know, every time I heard that, I said, you know, well, the school does have rules that you have to abide by. Some of them are this and some of them are that. So I just said, you never lose your faith. You continue with your faith. You just got to leave the kids out of it and let the students make up their own mind. You don't want to force anybody to pray, because forcing somebody to pray is just as bad as forcing them not to pray.
It's definitely a public school versus a private school situation, in the way I see it. Do you have any good things to say about your legal team, First Liberty Institute?
Oh, I wish I could say really great things about them, but it feels like a very bad marriage for so many years you want to get out of. I love these guys. We're like brothers. You know, it's part of a family now. 7 years, well, 8 years, that is the longest time to possibly go through any of this. And these guys are, I don't consider them my lawyers anymore. I've considered them friends. We attend birthdays together. We do, you know, outings together. So this is very much a family now. And First Liberty, if you have not taken a look at them, I suggest everybody go to firstliberty.org. Take a look, and you could actually read all the cases that are going on right now. You can read every detail, all the facts of my case, and all the ones that are pending. It's incredible to see how much they've had to expand over the years, just since I took on my case. But it's been great for Americans, because now they say, hey, well, if this guy could do it, anybody could do it. And more people are standing up for their faith, and they're reaching out to First Liberty and other ones like ADF and gosh, there's got to be 1,000 different pro bono places that will represent people.
Yep. And the Silent Majority Foundation, which I'm an ambassador for. And I've actually invited folks from First Liberty to come on. Hopefully they will in a future date. On the other side of the coin, Rachel Laser is president of American United for, yep, you know who she is, American United for Separation of Church and State, which represented the Bremerton School Board in the case. She lamented that the Supreme Court adopted the deceitful narrative that Kennedy was praying quietly and to himself, as if that was bad. She also worried that it will encourage other coaches and teachers who view public school, quote, who view public schools as a mission field. So some public school coaches in Alabama, Oklahoma, and Tennessee acknowledged feeling vindicated by the ruling and said they would continue to pray with students. They never had a case, did they?
No, they did not. And they came in pretty late in the game, and I was actually shocked. Because the school district actually had somebody represent them that had their own agenda. Of course, I picked somebody that had an agenda, and that was the religious liberty. And the school started with their own lawyers, which were supposed to remain neutral and have a judge rule. These are the facts of the case, and have a judge rule on it. Well, when Laser came in, she changed the narrative. It's funny to go back and read from the very first letter that the school district wrote to me to what they presented to the Supreme Court. The narrative changed probably six times for them. And that was the story they were sticking with. It was the false narrative at the end. And I to this day, I said, find one player that felt pressured according to her narrative. Please, I challenge you. I challenge everybody for the past 8 years to find one student that felt pressured, and nobody could produce anyone, which, you know, it wasn't even part of the case. So it was silly that they kind of went with their narrative.
It's their fault that it went to the Supreme Court. It could have been handled much cleaner under the radar down below, but that's what they do. But that also means that you took the slings and arrows, so nobody else in America has to. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
What lesson? Well, I haven't done anything. What lessons did you learn about religious liberties and the court system?
Well, I found out religious liberty is something that is absolutely worth fighting for, because if you don't use it, you lose it. It seems like a government spending bill. You know, if they don't pass it, you don't get it. Well, if you don't, from time to time, exercise your religious liberties or all your liberties, it doesn't even matter if it's religious liberties. If you don't exercise those, it's like atrophy, and you will slowly lose those. And that's what we've done over the past 50 years, is not having any clue what the Constitution says. And people of faith, they've been hiding who they are. There's certain things you don't talk about at work. And, well, religion's one of them. But why? That shouldn't be a problem at all. It's who you are. It's what you believe. In this era of diversity and inclusivity, why not talk about it? Open a dialogue with people. Share your faith. Be bold in it. I mean, we're called to be the salt and the light. We don't have to be a, you know, laser beam burning out people's eyes. And we don't want to oversalt everything where it's just gross. I mean, just be you and let that light shine where you are.
Amen. Salt adds flavor. What kind of opposition did you get? I mean, freedom of religion and speech are inalienable rights. That means God-given. They're in the Constitution for all Americans, not just some, not just white, not just black, not just a few, all. Who would oppose you demanding those rights?
I don't understand that part. And I think it I know one of their biggest one of their biggest fans was a guy who just hated church. He used to be a friend of mine, and he kind of stirred the pot. One of the school of teachers, she was a person of no faith, and she was persecuted because when she was a kid, she didn't have faith. So she wanted to turn that around on me. And I thought, wow, how vindictive can you be? So there was only a very small amount that actually came against me, but they were so loud about it. And, you know, the media, they pick it up and they want to, you know, make a story and a headline. So that's what really is what happened. Everything spun way out of control. And there's a few people out there that just hate everything to do with religion. And it's so much easier if they remove it from people that have it. I don't know why they're jealous of something that they can have for free too, but that's the way they are. They don't have it and they want to take it away from others.
And how about the public school system? Why didn't the Bremerton School Board drop this case instead of waste school and taxpayer money to fight all the way to the Supreme Court over 8 years when praying is so clearly protected speech?
That was something that I learned a lot about is the school district's board. And I found out that the school district's board, only thing they really do is vote on budgets and non-really important things. As far as I'm concerned, you know, that they do have important business, but one of them being the budget. Well, yeah, the budget's important. Well, just like our Congress, you know, they failed to do that job very well. But they didn't rule. I went before the board and I talked to them and I pleaded to them that, hey, I don't want this to be a fight. You guys are my friends. I looked at everyone on the board and I know them. I know each one of them by name. And I pleaded to them, this didn't have to be a fight. Let's sit down and discuss it. Well, when the lawyers get involved, the school district, the board automatically removes themselves. It's up to the lawyer now. And instead of being in charge and directing the school on what they should do, they just followed blindly of what this lawyer who had no idea what the First Amendment was about. He's good at, you know, school stuff. He's not a religious scholar or a constitutional scholar. He needed to back himself out and find somebody who knows the Constitution and have the school board actually be very involved in this instead of leaving it up to a lawyer.
How much do you guess the school paid the lawyers for this case? I mean, Bremerton is not the richest county or district in the state by any means.
Yeah, very poor.
How much do you think they wasted on this?
Wow. I can't even begin to. It had to be millions of dollars. It had to. I know our bill's up. I don't think it's over $10 million. If they would have charged me, they did a pro bono.
It Did you say $10 million?
$10 million. That's why I need groups that fight for people pro bono, because where am I going to get $10 million? Where is the school going to get $10 million? I mean, we should be able to work this out as human
beings. It already was worked out in the Constitution of the United States of America. You don't have to do this. $10 million.
I agree. And them being risk adverse, they said, you know, well, we don't want to have a possible... This is where it started. We don't want to have a possible establishment cause violation. That was their first claim. And I sat there and I was talking to him and I said, Aaron, who was the superintendent, I was like, Aaron, I guarantee, you're talking about a hypothetical. I'm guaranteeing I will sue for my rights if you do not come to your senses. You're talking about something hypothetical. This is something that is a guarantee. I don't know why they chose this route and wanted to fight instead of working it out, because we would have been, it would have moved on. It would have blown over within at least a football season. We were halfway through it.
And we wonder why they always plead poverty with unions and teacher strikes while reading and math scores plummet. You know, just today they came out and said 30% decline in proficiency in the schools. So, you know, this was obviously a church versus state, public school versus religious liberties thing that the lawyers made out of it, not what the board did or what you did. I had to explain to my private school kids, separation of state is not in the Constitution. It was in a letter Thomas Jefferson wrote, not something anyone voted on. Even the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment isn't explicit like this. It means no Church of England or Islamic Republic. We're not that kind of country. We are a democratic republic. Anyway, Do you think your case could open the floodgates to bring God back into the public schools?
I absolutely think it will. It's inevitable that people, there's people of faith. And, you know, we could get into the details of which faith is right and wrong. You know, that's a never ending story. But it absolutely says that. So the First Amendment, it's made there for the Establishment Clause and the free worship. Those things are to work together, where the government does not come and infringe on you. And that's exactly what they did, is said, nope, you can't do this if you do that, you know, if you're a public employee. The public employee is full of Americans, and Americans have rights. And yeah, they chose the wrong side of that coin, and they ended up losing.
And aren't you in a teachers union, and did they ignore you, and aren't dues for help with things like this?
Yeah, that was something that was completely left out of the news. Yes, they have teachers unions, and they have unions for everything. And I never once heard, I called, I asked, and I heard nothing, because our union didn't want to get into anything so controversial.
And how about Washington Superintendent of Schools Reichdahl, or Attorney General Ferguson, and Governor Inslee? They didn't defend your constitutional rights. Any animosity against them, and any thoughts of leaving Washington for a state with more faith-based defending leadership like Tennessee or Alabama?
Oh, well, you know, I when this all started in 2015, the school, what is he, the president of the public schools in Washington State, he took a shot at me and said I was a bad apple without knowing the facts of the case. Well, when we actually updated him on what this was, it wasn't one guy trying to, you know, poison our youth with God. It was one man just praying by himself. So he changed his tune, but of course, no one came to my aid. I had so many states, I think it was 34 or 38 states that wrote on behalf of me, the attorney generals and governors and their House of Representatives and Senate, everybody across the United States wrote on my behalf. But of course, Washington and Jay Inslee, I never heard a single thing from him. There's a local representative, Derek, or what is he, a senator, the Washington State Senator. I confronted him and said, hey, how come you have not paid attention to my case, Derek Kilmer? He said, oh, I've been very concerned about that, but he wanted to touch it with the 10-foot pole. And so, when I was suspended, I went and got my degree from University of Tennessee, Go Vols.
Nice.
And I finished my master's degree. So it wasn't like I was sitting idle. I had to do something with my time. And yes, it is so great to see some of these other states that actually understand what freedom is and their love of God in this country.
Oh, okay. So what will you do differently when you do get reinstated? Will you other coaches be happy you're back, or will they stay against you, give you some kind of, you know, janitorial job? And what about other coaches in the league? Did they support you ultimately?
Interesting is that we were very split. Our team was, our coaching staff was split. And I would say it was probably 60-40 in my favor. Because most of the guys were like, this is so stupid. They knew what this was about. It was about my personal thing. And the only beef that they had was that it was taken away from our school program and our football program. And there was a spotlight put on me, which I hated. I wish I could turn it around. Now the kids were cool. They were like, look, we're trending number one on Facebook and Twitter right now. So they thought it was wonderful. I hated every bit of that. And I just wanted it to just go away and coach football. So the coaching staff now, I only know two of them. I coach with two of the guys that are there, and I've been in contact with them, and they've been my friends regardless of what happens and what has happened. People around the league, they all joined us in prayer. Every single team in our tiny little 2A Kitsap County area, everybody, the Olympic League, every one of those coaches joined me out on the 50 that last year.
That's beautiful. So religious liberties are what make America great. What do you make of colleges, National Guard, fire departments firing guys for requesting religious exemptions and not being granted, and governors like Washington State's Inslee and county executive Dow Constantine which is King County, not your county, but still the same state, where Seattle is, for those who don't know, sticking with it, even though we know science shows it's risky at best.
Yeah, I don't know where those guys' heads are, why the government is so bullheaded in this and not understanding. I think there's some kind of control there, because if you remove God, what falls into place? Next thing you need to look to is the government. And that's a really sad state to be in. You can take a look through the history books, not with the history that they're teaching in our schools today, but look at world history. And the first thing they do is tear apart people's rights and remove the God from the equation. And then the government steps in and it becomes a big mess.
Do you think if the three Trump appointed judges, Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and I think Barrett was there too, do you think without them, you'd have won?
I would like to say I would have. There's, you know, looking into the magic eight ball, you don't know. I would like to think that the Supreme Court should rule on the facts of the case and what the Constitution says versus their own agendas, this liberalism or conservatism. All of those things should be just, justice is supposed to be blind and weigh out the facts of things. And they, it's hard to say. I think if there was more, I hate to say it, liberal judges, I don't know, it might've gone the other way. So I don't have a ton of faith in our legal system, the way that things are.
So after you're back, what will you do after your first game?
I'm just going to go. It's a ritual. It's exactly what I'm going to do is same thing after every game. I'm going to go over there and I'm going to shake hands with every one of the players, speak out to a couple of the kids that were really good on the opposing team, talk to the opposing coaches, tell them good game, work out our logistics for the Monday junior varsity game. And then as I'm walking back to the sidelines with my team while they're singing their fight song, I'm going to take a knee on the 50. Thank God, and go peace out and go join my team and get them all home.
Fantastic. Are you writing a book?
I have somebody that's helping me with that, because I really am not much for reading and I am not good at books. So I asked somebody to take a look at it and write it down, and we'll throw it out there and see if people are interested in actually reading it or not before we publish it.
All right, good. Well, I would read it, but win or lose, God bless you, coach. I admire your grit. You're like Braveheart and Rudy and Gladiator all rolled into one. A little bit of We Were Soldiers there, but you know, thank you for fighting for us. The most selfless thing I think I've ever seen, certainly that I've gotten to talk to on this podcast so far. And I really appreciate your time. So thanks for spending it with my listeners. We're nearing the end here. Please tell our listeners where they can go to find out more about you and maybe donate or follow anything.
Right. So first place I'll send you is to coachjoekennedy.com. Pretty simple, coachjoekennedy.com. And that shows who I am, where I am, my bio, all of those things, and how to get a hold of me. And any if you want to follow on Facebook or anything like that, any of the social media. And then also firstliberty.org, because if it wasn't for guys like that, there's no way I would have been squashed. I couldn't imagine that. And I'd like to thank everybody that's listening right now and thank you. You said you didn't do anything. No, you have done something. You have absolutely told the story. And that's what we need to do, is hear stories about what's actually happening and have a voice in this country, because all the prayers, all the support was felt. And I just thank everybody for standing up and fighting with me in this fight.
Thanks, coach. I'm behind you 100%.
Awesome.
Anything else you'd want to say in conclusion?
Yeah, stand up for your rights and God bless everyone.
Love it. Love it. All right. Thank you so much.
You bet.
God bless.
This pawn shop ticket for this week's rent. Well, last week's check.
Welcome to the Steve and Steve segment of our show, where we cover what we just heard and anything else in my mind today. Producer Steve, what do you think of Coach Joe?
Wow, he is one of us, isn't he? He is a freedom fighter, a lover of God, a lover of our Constitution. And Steve, I just want to say that, you know, since 2020, we've seen a lot of people really find out what the Constitution really means and really start acting in it. Because most people have, we know what the Constitution is, blah, blah, blah. It wasn't until all these rights were being removed from us that a lot of people went back and said, hey, can they do this legally? And we found out that mandates cannot override the Constitution. And here's an individual who was practicing his religion in public, which is in the Constitution, and then he got flack from his school district, and they had no backbone because as typical as it is, these people aren't really believers in what the Constitution says. They're just whatever. So I am so happy that he did what he did. But 8 years, Steve, I didn't realize it. But I thought it was like 3 years ago. I didn't realize
it felt like
it was
3 years because I remember when it was actually announced. I was living in Washington and I was aghast. And here we are. And you know, it's David and Goliath. And he fought the good fight for us. And I'm so proud. But let's talk about something else.
Yes.
Did you see this headline where congressman announces cause of death for healthy, fully vaccinated 17-year-old daughter? Illinois' Democratic Rep. Sean Casten last week published a Twitter post about how his seemingly healthy, active 17-year-old daughter, Gwen, had, quote, died of a sudden cardiac arrhythmia in June. We don't know what caused the arrhythmia and likely never will, he wrote. She was fully vaccinated and quarantined after occasional positive asymptomatic COVID test during the Omicron wave. She had just come home from an evening with friends, went to bed, and didn't wake up. Well, God bless her soul. I'm so sad and so sorry for her, but it seems to me like Rep. Casten isn't telling us the whole story. Would you play that clip, please?
Yes.
It's an act of medical censorship for sure. Dan, I had thousands of posted basically graphical abstracts of peer-reviewed papers. It just was the science. It was bringing late-breaking science to the community, and people followed me all over the world. This is coming on the heels of California AB 2098, which was signed into law, which is the Dr. Muzzle law in California.
That's right. That's right. Gavin Newsom, they should be ashamed out there for doing it's going to destroy medicine. Doc, I'm sorry this is happening to you. You've been a great friend to the
So for those who don't know that voice, and they should, it should be the most noticeable voice in the history of humanity, but that was Dr. Peter McCullough, absolutely the smartest virologist living today on this planet. He also said, now we have hundreds of manuscripts published on myocarditis heart inflammation, indicating a recent report that found a higher risk for young people after COVID-19 vaccination than after COVID-19 itself, as well as autopsies conducted on fatal cases of heart inflammation, some of which have suggested a causal link between the issues and the vaccines. So when we see young, quote, so when we see young people now dying, unexpectedly dying, either during sports or during sleep, in my view, it should be considered COVID-19 subclinical myocarditis and suddenly, I'm sorry, sudden cardiac death until proven otherwise. Again, a genius said this. Also, the same day as Representative Democratic Illinois Sean Casten tweeted about his own daughter, Florida Surgeon General, oh, by the way, Twitter knocked him off for that, Dr. McCullough. The same day, Florida Surgeon General Joseph Lapado, referencing an analysis the Florida Department of Health conducted, announced that the agency is advising against messenger RNA, mRNA, COVID-19 vaccines for men aged 18 to 39. Bear with me one more second here. He said, Florida will not be silent on the truth. Today, we release an analysis on COVID-19 mRNA vaccines the public needs to be aware of. This analysis showed an increased risk of cardiac-related death among men 18 to 39. Florida will not be silent on the truth. That was his tweet, which he was canceled for. And then out of uproar, they ended up putting it back on there. Twitter tried to cancel both of these people. Would you play the second clip, please, Steve?
Was the Pfizer COVID vaccine tested on stopping the transmission of the virus before it entered the market? If not, please say it clearly. If yes, are you willing to share the data with this committee? And I really want a straight answer, yes or no, and I'm looking forward to it. Thank you very much.
Regarding the question around, did we know about stopping humanisation before it's entered the market? No. We had to really move at the speed of science to really understand what is taking place in the market.
This is scandalous. Millions of people worldwide felt forced to get vaccinated because of the myth that you do it for others. Now, this turned out to be a cheap lie.
Yep.
And then 100%. Finally, I just want to say, so we've heard from a Surgeon General of the state of America. We've heard from the most brilliant doctor going during the crisis of COVID. The CDC, the U.S., taxpayer-funded Center for Disease Control and Prevention, who led the bus on all, drove the bus on all of this, will not release its review of post-COVID-19 vaccination heart inflammation. The CDC has been performing abstractions on reports of post-vaccination myocarditis, a form of heart inflammation submitted to the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System, but the agency is saying that federal law prevents it from releasing the results. Steve, producer Steve, my question to you is, have we been lied to for 2.5 years?
Get my book, Breaking the Deception Code. Yes, we have been lied to for day one. They've known from day one that this stuff was deadly. And they also knew that the COVID flu, in Fauci's own words in the New England Journal, I think it came out in February of 2020, was no different than any other flu and should be treated no differently than any other flu. This was a worldwide 185 countries got locked down. It was a lockstep situation. It was already it was put in place. Again, in my book, I talk about this. But the fact is, Steve, this was a lie from day one. It was fabricated. People are not dying from COVID. They've been dying from the hospitalization with, quote, quote, COVID in them. And then what they did to them, we can't even get into that right now. But the point is, yeah, these shots are called clot shots for a reason. And we have yet to see the long-term play out of this. I happen to know somebody who's 28 years old, and she is dead now. We firmly believe because she took the shots, and there's no other history in her family of a brain hemorrhage and stroke and all that she went through when she died.
We're hearing about that on a daily basis now. Athletes are just stacking up and somebody's going to have to pay for this. And the truth is coming out. And that's what this show is dedicated to, is truth, and has been since day one. And so that's why I played all that, because I want people to know. I wrote a 2000 word article on Deborah Birx's own book, admitting to her culpability, as well as Randy Rheingarten and her ineffectual, if not more damaging, protocols for the schools. So that's another story. But that is what I wanted to talk about. Thank you. I don't know. Welcome to our Thought of the Week. But before I share, I want to remind everyone to subscribe to Mill Creek View Podcast. Just go to Deezer, Spotify, or iHeartRadio and hit the subscribe button. That's how I move up the charts and keep this free for you. Right now, I'm at number 5. Thanks for doing it, and thanks for listening. Any government is evil if it carries within it the tendency to deteriorate into tyranny. The danger of such deterioration is more acute in a country in which the government has authority not only over the armed forces, but also over every channel of education and information. Albert Einstein. Kids, look him up. Well, that's it for this episode. Really hope you liked it. Write to me at millcreekview@yahoo.com, and I just might read it on the air. Until next time, this is your host, Steve Abramowitz, Managing Director of Mill Creek Financial Partners. Peace in our time.
Autumn's in the air. Laughter around the children and the pumpkins at the county fair. They were looking for America and hiding everything.